This is Kate Harness with 3078 Radio, and today we're going to sit down and talk about foster parenting in Johnson County. The Department of Family Services here is always looking for good foster homes, and I'm joined today by Desiree Parsons and Carrie Packard of DFS. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
It's very nice to see you. How are you both? I'm glad to see you. So, how many children are there in Johnson County who are currently in foster homes?
We have approximately 15 children right now, but over the last month or so have come in, and or maybe a couple left, but we're at 15 right now.
So about 15 kids, and are they, I assume that they're not all single children, that some of them are in family groups and so on?
Yes, we have sibling groups that come in.
Okay, as well. And have you found it easy to place those children in foster homes?
Well, Johnson County's had a shortage of foster homes for a while. We've had really great foster parents, and some of them just retire. Anybody familiar with foster care will probably remember like the names of Joyce Jarvis and Karen Cross, mm-hmm. who did it for decades, but they've since retired. But we also, so we're trying to get those numbers replaced and replenished, but also that when we have sibling groups come in, it becomes more difficult, mm-hmm. because kids who've been traumatized present with different challenges, mm-hmm. and finding the right match and the right home that is able to help them heal from that and move forward can be difficult at times.
Sure. And I mean, to state the obvious, you know, any child who finds themselves in need of a foster home has been traumatized. Are you seeing more kids needing foster parents? Is there more kind of general trauma and family breakdown, or are the numbers pretty consistent?
In the last few months, we've seen a significant increase. Prior to that, we've kind of seen a decrease.
Okay.
But for whatever reasons, since the end of last year, December, yeah. we've been really busy.
Okay. So there's no typical, because every circumstance is unique. But what sort of issues are there that bring kids to your door needing somewhere to live for a while where they can't live at home or with their parent?
You're exactly right. It's a huge continuum of severity of trauma that could result in a child being brought in. We've had children that have come into custody have only needed an overnight stay because they were traveling with a parent or caregiver who was arrested out on the interstate for something, and we just needed to contact a family member to come pick them up. So that trauma is the trauma of watching a parent being arrested and being removed from them overnight and staying with a stranger. And that is traumatic, but that's much less significant of a trauma as opposed to kids who have experienced sexual abuse, physical abuse, especially those that it's not been an isolated incident, but rather something chronic that they've been experiencing throughout their childhood.
Sure. So what do you find are the main obstacles? Could I really take a traumatized child, even just overnight, let alone maybe three of them for an unknown period of time or whatever it is? What are the obstacles that you are finding in actually recruiting and retaining foster parents?
Well, it seems like we have a great community. Everybody wants to help. And as soon as they realize that there is somebody in need, everybody jumps in. The problem with foster care is that it is really helpful for us, for the child, for just the whole community to have foster parents that have already been certified.
Right.
Because part of the training to become a foster parent is really, really important. It's part of the foster parent college. And it goes through how to handle some of those behaviors that our traumatized kids can have. And so, like, having all of that done before a child is placed in the home is pretty essential. And it's really hard for foster parents to do that and also have a child placed in the home, like, simultaneously. Like, that's a lot to ask of a person, you know, because the training is pretty intense. It's great information, but it is hard to do.
And so, Desiree, you're actually speaking from a place of knowledge and real experience because you do work for DFS, but previously you've already had foster children of your own. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience?
So every experience is a little different. As Carrie had said, you know, some kids just stay a night or two, you know. And even if they are, they're there a night or two, you know, your home is different. Your routines are different. And these are things that they're not used to. And so, like, just having that training ahead of time kind of helps you navigate some of those really small things that, you know, as adults don't really like. Yeah, you get up, you get ready for school, you do these things. And those might not have been things that they've really had much experience with. You know, they roll out of bed, they go to school. You know, in our homes, you know, you get out of bed, you brush your teeth, you do all of these normal things. And these sometimes are very, very new things to them.
Right. So you have, I believe, 3 biological children of your own.
Correct.
And then what led you to think, oh, maybe add a few more?
Part of it was just my kids were going to school here, and I knew that there were kids that needed safe places to go. Our very first foster child ended up being one of my oldest friend, you know, and I was just like, you know what? If we don't step up, who's going to?
Right.
You know, and I figured if my kids were in school, they knew some of these kids, and that would be one less thing that they would have to worry about. They come into a home where they may have already gone to school with my kids and things like that. Like, that might ease some of that, you know, unknown for them. And I found that it actually did. You know, them coming in and be like, hey, I go to school with you. And that just kind of broke the ice for them, and then they didn't feel so uncomfortable or like they were just walking into a complete stranger's home.
So, Carrie, do you find that the kids who you're trying to place right now, are they mainly from within our community looking for other places, or are some of them just more transient or new to the community? Does it just really vary?
It varies. But right now, the kiddos we have in custody or placed in foster care, I guess I should say, is they're from the Johnson County community, and they've been here for a while.
And what I'm hearing you say, Desiree, is that it seems much easier on the kids to be in at least somewhat of a familiar environment, whether it's just at school,
right.
And so on. Has that been complicated for you, navigating that ever, with knowing that, you know, the parent or parents may also still be in the community? Has that been an issue?
That's kind of a case by case. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that kind of has become an issue. Not much. I mean, the schools are really good about, mm-hmm. you know, helping and bus driver. I mean, our whole community really does wrap around those kids. And even as foster parents, I mean, I've had tons of help from tons of people in our community, which is amazing. And I love that. And I do think that keeping our kids in our community is important because, you know, those kids were somebody's neighbor or somebody's best friend, or, you know, their main connections might be their teachers at school or the counselor at school or, you know, whatever that may be. But keeping some of those constants, I think, is really important.
So that makes me wonder what happens if you can't find a foster home. What happens to...
Well, we spend a lot of time right here in this conference room with them, and we just keep searching. And so we are blessed in Johnson County that we have a community that when we being social services or child protection, when we say we have a need, there really are people that jump into action.
Absolutely.
And so whether it's, for example, we had a larger sibling group of kiddos come in a little while ago, and one foster home said, okay, we'll take them all on. You know, we don't want to try to split them up. And so they were willing to take that task, and it was a mountainous task of taking all of them on. I made a quick call to the Friends Feeding Friends program and said, hey, I'm getting ready to place all of these kiddos in one foster home. That's a lot more mouths to feed. And they jumped into action, and they had a tub of food for them ready so that they didn't have to try to make it to the grocery store that night with a bunch of new children that are trying to adjust. And, I mean, I don't know, navigating the store with one kid is enough for me, let alone but those kind of things. So when we are here, like we're literally here in our office making phone calls trying to find people, typically, once we start making calls, other people start making calls to try to meet all the needs, because it's not just a bed to sleep in. Kiddos will come in with no clothing, no toiletry items. Sometimes, unfortunately, they're not very clean because their physical needs have been neglected. They have unmet medical or dental or optical needs. And so all of those things have to start quickly happening to take care of and meet these needs for these kiddos. And when you put all of that on one foster parent, it can be tricky. So once we even find someone, when we are shorthanded, then we're trying to scramble as a team to meet all these other needs and support them and boost them up so that we can preserve that placement for kids.
So the foster parent is responsible for the well-being of that kid, but it sounds like there is a lot of support around it. You know, ideally, hopefully, maybe required, I'm not sure, is that they've been through some kind of training. And that's for the benefit of the foster child and the foster parent, I would imagine. I suppose one aspect is, you know, the emotional part of fostering. You know, you have a heart for children and you don't like to see them suffer or just, you know, be neglected in some kind of way, their needs neglected. But how do you cope? How do you navigate that, you know, you have a kid for 3 nights or whatever and then they're gone? Or how does it work? I believe you adopted one of your foster children.
We did, yes.
Can you describe a little bit about how that actually works in practice?
I do believe you have to have a connection with children. I mean, they have to genuinely know that you are caring for them and you want to be there for them. And, you know, that emotional connection is huge because, you know, maybe the only emotional connection they've had is their school teacher or somebody at school. And so having a parent fill that role, even if it's temporary, I think is huge. I think that they need it for their emotional stability. They need it for, you know, even for their school stability. They need to know that somebody's in their court, mm-hmm. fighting for them and doing what's best for them and, you know, accepting them for who they are. That can be absolutely hard when they leave because you have, you know, put in those emotional ties to them. And to be honest, I think that's probably the hardest part about foster care is saying goodbye to them. Mm-hmm. But knowing that you have established that connection with them and sending them out into the world, knowing how a healthy connection can feel and be, I think is huge.
And presumably also of providing them a really tangible experience of a model of, you know, a functioning, loving home and what that looks like, and that, yes, cleaning your teeth is not an optional extra and so on, but, and, you know, mealtimes come at a regular time, you know, just those things that some people take for granted that many people maybe many children don't experience.
Yeah, and, you know, and that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. I mean, the house doesn't have to be clean. There can be dirty laundry in the laundry room. But I think for them to see that as a normal functioning family, but they still have clean clothes to wear to school. You know, the kitchen might not be completely clean, but they always have meals and, you know, and just those really stable type things, you know, I think are huge.
So, Carrie, you're looking for foster parents. What are you looking for? Who would qualify?
Well, for an actual qualification and certification process, I would refer anyone who's interested to Ashley Handley, who's our foster care coordinator.
And we've talked with Ashley, and
She has all the details of all the qualification certification pieces. And since that's not my area, I don't want to say specifics because I'll probably get it wrong. You know, we're looking for people that, I guess the thing to remember about foster care is that as much as kiddos come in on a continuum of trauma, the needs for foster care are on a continuum as well. It could be where you're willing to be long-term, potentially an adoptive parent. It could be where you're long-term and you really want to help with reunification efforts to help families heal, not just the child, but the family. It could be where you're willing to do emergency basis on crisis where we only need a couple nights until grandma can get here from another state or something like that, or grandpa. Or it could be respite. And respite is where basically when a child is in foster care with another foster family, they can't just go wherever they want to and leave them with whoever they want. If we, those kiddos, we have a responsibility making sure that they're safe with whomever they're with. And so respite providers basically provide a break. Or so if the foster parents have something going on, maybe they have, the biological child has a surgery coming up. And so it would really be best that they are able to focus just on that biological child. A respite provider says, I'm available. These foster kiddos can come stay with me while you work through or make it through that part of what's going on with your family, and then they can go back. Or it could be you've been in this for a while, it's your anniversary with your husband or a big family reunion, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work for these kiddos and their trauma needs to take them on a big trip. So they're going to stay in the respite provider, which is also a certified foster home. So they don't have long-term placements. Theirs are really an as-needed basis to help out other foster parents. And then I guess even less than that is providing support to foster parents in other ways, whether it's like we've talked about when these kiddos come in, they may be removed for reason A, but once they're removed for reason A, we see all these other things. And all of a sudden then, we have the school or a doctor, somebody saying, oh, hey, since you're involved, here's what we really need help with because this kiddo's been needing help in this area. And so trying to meet all those needs, which is great, but can be overwhelming. So having, I think, people that want to help come alongside and either prepare meals that get dropped off for a foster family when they have a lot going
super
on,
helpful.
Or provide daycare services. Like if even... I guess I would use like a church as an example. Like if one of the churches says, hey, every third Tuesday, we're going to provide open house daycare support for foster families. If they need to run to Walmart, kiddos can come hang out here. They can play here. We'll provide that help and assistance to them so that they can just run to the store mm-hmm. without extra people putting in their opinion of what they want.
Yep.
And creating, you know, it's just less stress. So it could be something like that. Or we have the foster parent exchange. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
In Sheridan, yep. That does a phenomenal job of when kiddos come into custody, all I have to do is call Carla Creighton and or send her a message, and she'll put together a bag, like a starter kit of clothing,
hygiene stuff, blankets, books, some toys, shoes.
Just
because
to get them
we live in Wyoming, you know, coats, yeah. boots, things like that.
And so she has a whole building. So if there's somebody that comes along and says, hey, I have a special connection with this organization and we'd like to donate X number of dollars or things, they can do it that way as well. So there really is a lot of different ways to do it. But truly, we do need foster parents. We need people that just are willing to open their hearts and their homes to traumatized kiddos. And I think that's the big piece to remember is that these kids come in with their own story and their own life experiences, and it doesn't always make it easy. But being able to provide a safe place for them to stay and to try to heal or experience a different life while their parents or caregiver get the help that they need is what we really need. Because yes. it's not easy, but we're kind of all in it together.
Yeah. And even if it doesn't, every child will be left with that positive experience too.
Right.
And I'm sure, Desiree, there have been some great moments in your fostering experience as well as some really difficult moments, but
yes.
it must be all worthwhile or you would still not be willing to do this.
It is. I think it's just, you know, it just shows them, even if it's a small part of their life, how life can be. You know, you can be safe at home. You can have all of your needs met and not have to worry about those things, and I think that's huge.
I was just talking to a local therapist this morning, or a few of them actually, on a team meeting, and we were reminiscing about a kiddo that came in, and she couldn't read when she came in.
Yeah.
But once she felt safe and she started to heal from her trauma, now she's an advanced reader. Like, it doesn't happen overnight, but to truly, trauma creates such a significant impact on our abilities to function that people don't realize until you're involved in that. And so when you can see a kiddo even go from not being able to read a book to being able to read independently, and how proud they are of themselves and the confidence that boosts is huge. And so it may not be, you know, are creating rogue scholars, but instead what you're seeing is you're watching kids gain confidence and self-love because they feel more worthy in themselves because they're able to advance and function with their peers.
Sure. And so, Desiree, you said something that I couldn't help but write down, which was, if I don't step up, who will? And I think, you know, that's really a lot of what we're talking about now is kind of if you even are just thinking that you have a heart for this kind of effort, if you have a, you know, if you care, if it hurts you when you see children in need and they're just not, their needs are not being met, you know, there are lots of ways to contribute to the fostering program.
Absolutely.
You know, and you should get in touch. This is the moment to do it because right now Johnson County needs you.
Yeah.
And the kids in Johnson County need you. And who does somebody call? How do they get in touch with you?
I would say they should just call our office here,
okay,
which is 684-5513. It's a small community, so you go to the grocery store and people want to reach out and talk to you, and they're welcome to. They can talk to
Absolutely.
Dennis, mm-hmm. They can talk to myself, Raylan Miller, Kimberly Coe. Any of us can help them get headed in the right direction. And
whether it's just to contribute a toothbrush,
yeah,
or whether it's to say, I want to go through the training, this is what I'm in for, and it can be anybody. You don't have to have, you can be of any age, you don't have to have children, just as long as you have a home and a safe home to offer and you're willing to, you know, be supportive and kind.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, because that's what they need. They need a safe place to be, and they need kind people around them. And not necessarily saying that the people around them weren't kind before, but, you know, they need to know that people can rally around them and make them important.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so very much. It's been a very interesting conversation. I hope we've maybe blown away some of the stereotypes about what being engaged in fostering is really about. Thank you, and Desiree, especially thank you for all that you have done for those kids that have come through your home and carry everything that you do for kids in need. Thank you.